Penguin Random House Audio presents The Shadow of Perseus by Claire Heywood. Read for you by Olivia Darnley. For Andrew, a wonderful man. Part 1. Danai. Chapter 1. Danai had a spring in her step as she made the steep ascent to the temple. She smiled as the wind pulled at her skirts, leading her on up the well-worn path that snaked its way along the rocky hillside. She could hear her handmaid, Karina, panting behind her and felt the sweat beginning to gather on her brow, but she pushed on. They were almost at the top. "Not far now," Danai declared, turning to her handmaid, but her grin dropped a little as she saw Karina struggling with the heavy wine jar. "Let me take that," she offered, feeling suddenly guilty about the unrelenting pace she had set.
"Don't worry, mistress. We're almost there now, as you say."
Nevertheless, Danai dropped back, and they carried the jar between them the rest of the way, each taking one of the clay handles. It might have been difficult, negotiating that weight between two sets of slender arms, but Karina had been with her long enough that they knew how to move together. Just as when her handmaid dressed her in the morning, or fixed her hair in elaborate coils, or when the two of them set the loom with its colourful woolen threads, their bodies flowed around one another, each hand knowing where it was needed. As the slope finally levelled out and the temple came into view, the two girls stopped to catch their breath. Though she had seen them many times before, those stone walls never failed to impress Danai. Each boulder was perfectly set, curving between its neighbours to create a great circle rising out from the plateau. It was no larger than her own home, smaller, probably, and yet there was an immovable solidity to those rocks that made the building loom beyond its stature. This was a place for gods, not men. That feeling was undercut somewhat by the very mortal-looking attendant who appeared through the doorway. She and Karina set the wine jar down on the gravel as the man stepped towards them, the morning light illuminating his pockmarked cheeks and balding head. "Ah, Lady Danai," he called, clasping his hands together as he strode towards them. "You are welcome once again to the Temple of the Divine Twins, Paion Apollo and Lady Artemis." He glanced down at the jar. "Another offering for the Lord Apollo?"
"Yes," she gasped, still breathless from the climb.
"My father asks that Lord Apollo return a favourable answer in the question of his marriage. He asks that the Shining God should reveal which bride shall provide him with a son so that he may bring further glory to the illustrious city of Argos and pleasing gifts to the god who has been his patron in this matter." She reeled off the words she had spoken each morning for the last 2 weeks, then took a lungful of air.
"Very well," said the attendant with a gracious nod. "We shall see that the libation is poured. May the shining god smile upon the king's request."
And with that, he stooped to lift the cumbersome wine jar and carried it as ceremoniously as he could back through the doorway of the temple. Danai's gaze followed him under the stone lintel, trying to see into the center of that mysterious building. She saw the flicker of fire, shadowy figures crossing its light, and then the door was closed. She smiled. Let the priests keep their secrets. She had not hurried all the way up Larissa Hill to peer at altars and trade formalities with dusty old attendants. She hitched her skirts and strode straight past the temple, leaving Karina behind as her eager feet almost sprang into a run, charging across the plateau, stones crunching under her sandals until there it was. Danai stopped herself,
raised an arm against the sharp morning sun and looked out on the object of her daily pilgrimage. There in the distance lay the great, glistening blue, stretching out to meet the sky. In all her 18 years, Danae had never left Argos. She could only imagine the worlds that existed beyond the sea, the vibrant people who inhabited them, the great adventures that might be happening right now on some distant shore. Her uncle told her such stories when the hearth fire burned low and she and her cousins were huddled around him, drinking his words like honey wine. Stories of monsters and shipwrecks, of foreign kingdoms and great heroes. But even he rarely traveled. "I have all I need right here," he would say, gathering Danae and his daughters into his thick chest. She loved those evenings and the worlds he conjured with his deep, full voice. But sometimes she wished she could do more than listen. The view from Larissa Hill was the closest she came to stepping on those distant shores, to feeling their sand beneath her feet. It was worth the daily climb to stand here and take in the bay, to feel herself so close to the unbounded blue that connected her to a whole world beyond, to be buffeted by a wind that had shaken foreign trees and whipped unknown tides. She let the feeling of it soak through her. "Should we not return now, mistress?" came Karina's soft voice beside her. Danae's heart sank. She could say no and insist that they stay another few minutes, another hour, but it would only make her father anxious. She didn't want to risk putting him into an ill temper. He had been on edge these last weeks, awaiting the response from the oracle, and she knew that if she pushed him too far, she might lose the freedoms she savored. Taking one last lungful of the hilltop air, she tore her eyes away from the azure sea and began her reluctant descent with Karina at her side. They made their way through the city, attracting gazes and nods from the fishermen come to sell their morning catch, potters shaping their clay or bringing cups from the kiln, dyers filling the street with mismatched aromas as they stirred their great vats, earthy, sweet, then suddenly nose-pinchingly sharp. Between the workshops and wagons, the stalls and stables, people gossiped and haggled, each trying to be heard above the others. As Danae tried to linger beside some of them, curious to hear something beyond the usual palace talk, Karina drew her veil over her head and quickened her pace. But Danae knew they had no reason to fear. No one in Argos would dare harm the daughter of Acrisios, nor one of his slaves. So she smiled politely at those they passed and followed the path that was cleared for them. As they turned onto the main street, another path was being cleared further ahead. A wedding procession, from the torches held aloft and the bridal hymn that filled the air. She could see the timid bride, clutching her veil to hide her blushing face, stepping carefully over the cobbles to avoid spoiling her fine saffron dress. Danae felt for her in her nervousness, and yet, beneath that, there was a twinge of envy. Argos had no shortage of men hoping to marry Acrisios's only daughter, but as each one presented himself, her father found a reason to reject them. They were too fat, too thin, too poor, too wealthy, too foolish, too clever. Danae knew the real reason for his reluctance to let her marry. He already had one rival in her uncle Proitos, and could not abide another. Then, a month ago, after years of trampled hope, Danae thought her time had come. A young man, barely older than she was, had come to stay in the palace with his father, a wealthy merchant from Crete. Such a thing was hardly unusual.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?